Breathe in. Breathe out. It's an emotional weekend. An emotional weekend. I don't know how long the memorial service will be on our YouTube page, congregation's page, but very emotional, very inspirational service yesterday. We had over 200 here in the auditorium, and we shattered some kind of a number of viewers online. We had 140 contacts watching us online. I think that counts the number of instruments that were connected. 140 watching yesterday's memorial service, and those would have had one or more, two, three more people. So Tim had a very influential life, inspired a lot of people in a lot of ways, mostly in his faith. So thank you for supporting the honoring Tim's life, the Carraways and their loss, and each other in us dealing with losing a brother. We've been talking about growing on to maturity. Our brief prayer is, Father, please help me change. I need to change. I need to change. It's part of fundamental to our repentance. Our relationships are powerful. Our relationships are powerful. And like yesterday's memorial service showed us, one person being courageous in Christ and being novel in his environment. You remember? You asked Tim how he was doing? Fantastic! When he got cancer, he would say, fantastic for the shape I'm in. One man taking a stand. Our relationships are powerful. We just read this in 1 Thessalonians, and Paul often makes his teachings very personal. He talks about the way he comes across when he teaches, when he's talking to the Corinthian church. He talks about his relationships. He talks about, I was with you so many years. I taught you. You came to sought me out. You supported me. He gets very personal. So for just a moment, if you don't mind, I'm going to get a little more personal than I normally get. I, Paul, more than once, I wanted to come to you. I wanted to see you. You are our glory and joy. You are our glory, more eager and great desire. 30 years ago, a rare and amazing event happened in our lives, Carol and mine. United States Army, I was in the Army at the time, asked if I wanted an early retirement. I'd never heard of such a thing. I wasn't being fired. An early retirement, only medical reasons I had ever heard for somebody getting an early retirement. Carol and I thought about it and we prayed, We thought about it and we prayed. We loved being in Fairbanks. We were with the Northern Lights Church at the time. I was working at Fort Wainwright. And we said, okay, what a blessing. So we made a commitment. It was a hardworking, loving congregation. We made a commitment there. We agreed to the retirement, and we were going to stay there. Until another amazing thing happened. We got a call from the Valley Church of Christ preacher committee, and asked if I wanted to try out to be a preacher there. And my question was, why did you call me? We had never been. We'd never even visited the Valley congregation. We didn't know anybody in the congregation. And I had never been to preaching school. Reasonable question. Why did you call me? Earlier in our lives, I thought about being a preacher, but dropped that idea over time. Carol and I were torn, and we did not know which direction to go, retire and stay in Fairbanks, or take a position. So we said, God, your will be done. Not my will, but your will be done. We came down here only looking for God's will, not seeking a position. But you offered us a position. Now we were really torn. Come down here or stay where we had already made a type of commitment. We had committed ourselves to staying in Fairbanks with a new career and a real devotion to the church, but the opportunity here was huge in front of us. We literally asked God, would you write it in the sky for us, please? Just make the clouds shape into Fairbanks or Matsu or Wasilla. We prayed. We came down here twice and finally decided to work with the Valley congregation. It was painful. It hurt people in Fairbanks. We sat and we prayed together and we explained it to them. And when we came down here, Carol and I and our two children, John and Tofina Kakis and their boys literally moved out of their home and gave us their house to live in. Mike was about 6 years old at the time. You all are amazing. You're amazing then and you're amazing now. From that day to this, we have served and you have served. From that day to this, you have served and loved and devoted yourselves to one another and to us. You changed our lives. You've blown us away. We've been grown by you in every good way that we can think of. Besides the Kakises, the Smiths, the Boluses, the Merles, the Tylers, and the Bergs all were here in the congregation at that time. You not only allowed us to have extra time free to build a house, but you came and built it with us. In our memory, every day of that construction, someone in the congregation was at our side helping us build that house. None of us knew how to build a log house, but we did it anyway. Over the last 30 years, we've had two more babies, and you've had babies, and those babies have grown and married and had babies of their own. It's been a full time, 30 years of time. This is our 30th year. All four of our children were married here. You've powerfully grown us, encouraged us, taught us, and sincerely gave us God's love. We're much different. We are much different in our walk today than we were when we got here. God did that to Carol and I through you in your lives. This is the beginning of our 30th year, 2026. We got here in 1996. We don't want any special event. That's not the point of this. But we're stirred by Paul's example and love for the church that loved him. You are our glory and joy. You've certainly gone above and beyond in your relationships with us. We're joyously thankful beyond words for you and what you've done for us. Carol and I and our extended family constantly praise and thank God for you. Paul said this to the Thessalonian church, "We give thanks to God always for you." Carol and I join in Paul's attitude word for word with what he wrote to the Thessalonian congregation and our words to you. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice for you. We don't know how to say thank you, but we are so stunned that we've had the privilege of being able to work alongside with you guys. I don't know what God's future is, but we just wanted, it's hit us hard and clear that, wow, this is our 30th year here. What a blessing. Thank you all very much. Fundamental in our growing maturity, you helped us learn this, is humility is essential. Humility is essential to growth. Humility is essential to maturity. Do not lean on your own understanding. We are in the middle is not the right word. We are in the process of selecting elders. And what an exciting time that is. These scriptures give us such powerful descriptions. 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, uncontentious, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. If a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, lest he become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. He must have a good reputation with those outside the church so that he may not fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Titus chapter 1, starting in verse 5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you might set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if a man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. For an overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, that means a fighter, not a fighting man, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the word in accordance with the teaching, that he may be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. For there are rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced as they are upsetting whole families. And then Peter writes, comparing this shepherding position to the great shepherd. And he writes it this way in 1 Peter 5, verse 1. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherding the flock of God among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. These powerful teachings provide us a point of view of the character, the characteristics of what must be in a man's life to choose him to be in this position. It's so interesting that the choice is made locally, but we'll read who's working behind the scenes where the choice is made spiritually. These characteristics, and I sort of clumped them all together without the connecting words, must be above reproach, a husband, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, etc. This is not a checklist. They all must be there, but it's not a yes, yep, yep, yep. It's a description. of the character and the life of an individual. If you make it a hard black and white checklist, all of us stop at point one. Are you above reproach? Must you be above reproach to be able to be an elder or to walk in Christ? Yeah, we're all supposed to be determined, determined to do what's right, determined to get rid of the garbage. But literally, we all have a weakness, a failure point. We're made out of clay. So this is a description of characteristics. And if you take off the unique parts, if you take off the I'll call them unique, the special parts of being a husband, being able to teach, being a good, effective husband and father, raising children to be Christians, when you take those away, those are specific. You don't have to be a husband or a wife to be a good Christian. You don't have to be able to teach to walk in Christ, but you do to be an elder. So those are specific calls for an elder. So what happens to these when you take them away? Here's the list of what's left. Above reproach, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, not addicted to wine, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money, having a good reputation with outsiders, not self-willed. God, your will be done. To love good, sensible, just, devout, holding fast to the faithful word, serving with eagerness, not proud or demanding, and living your life as an example. Which one of those shouldn't be a description of every one of us? There's just a few points that an elder is called to that are not unique, but specific. That list is every Christian's path. That's everybody's pathway of maturity. Everybody should seek whatever it means to be above reproach, that my life is completely controlled by my Heavenly Father, that I'm more like Christ every day I live. Sober-minded means clear-minded, not clouded by the world or not confused, that we're able to handle applying Christ's teachings to who we are. That we are under control of ourselves. We're not wild and loose. Respectable lives, hospitable, that we love the foreigner, we love the stranger. We bring them into our house, we do what we can for people. We're not controlled, not addicted to wine, which would include whatever drugs we could get it messed up with. Anything that clouds your mind, marijuana clouds your mind. Don't become a regular one who pulls marijuana into their lives. A little bit medically, some people use some of the chemicals out of that thing for some medical purposes. But that's an example of something that causes you to not care and to drag you down. So we don't pull drugs and influences into our body that cause us not to be bright in mind and in strength. Not violent. We're to be gentle people. We're not to be argumentative people. We're not to love money. Don't run after money. Use it for God's glory. Run after love. Good reputation with outsiders. People at our jobs should think of us as people who care about people, people who care about doing a good job, people who don't complain, who don't argue. Not self-willed. To love good, to be sensible, just, devout. So this is a description of every one of us, that we are examples to each other, and we, by our love for our husbands or wives, by our love for our family, by our kindness and caring, when we say something to somebody about knowing Christ, they sit up and listen because they see the caring, careful, sacrificial life that you have. There's quite a, that should say Acts 20. Who typed that? I don't know how I make such blatant mistakes in these PowerPoints, and I read through them, and I read through them, and I read through them, and I still miss mistakes like that. That's Acts 20, 27 through 31. This is Paul calling the Ephesian elders out, and what he tells them is significant, and it's inspiring to us who want to work with elders properly. For I did not, I told you Paul talks about himself in a lot of his writings. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole gospel of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, that hurts. From among the eldership, from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert. Sobering. Serious. But look at that explanation in the middle. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which, who? Among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. You've got something to pray about this week, next week. Pray for the Holy Spirit's choice. Isn't that fascinating? As much as we do the selecting, it's the Holy Spirit that makes an individual, makes a man, an elder, an overseer, a bishop, if you will, or a... All three words speak to the same individual, to oversee, to be older, and to be a shepherd. All three words describe the same person. A pastor is not a different thing than an elder. A pastor is an elder in Scripture. An overseer is an elder in Scripture. Bishop is just another word for overseer. Pastor is just another word for shepherd. All of those words describe one position. But it's the Holy Spirit that puts us in the position. It's the Holy Spirit that makes us overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. This is humbling stuff. We're going to wrap up our lesson in Hebrews 13. So this gets into your and my relationships with elders. Because we all have a relationship with the eldership. Hebrews 13 is a powerful a perspective or guidelines for how we interface with our eldership. Obey your leaders. and submit to them. Not because they're such great guys, not because they know all the answers, but because that's the way God wants his church organized. We need your prayers more than every day. We feel our inadequacies constantly. But we submit ourselves to our Heavenly Father and to our Lord Christ. And we pray, Father, help us. Jesus, show us. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls. And then there's this phrase: as those who will give an account. Robert, why didn't you ever go visit that church member who was really hurting? I'm sorry, Lord. We have to give an account for what we do and what we don't do. We give an account. What a challenge that is. That's sobering. Let them do this with joy. I guess our side again on how we treat elders. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. So we have this, and I submit to elders too. If we're going to select elders this month, I'm submitting to those men too. So it's not just you, it's all of us. Let them do this with joy. I don't know all what it means to have to give an account for somebody else's life, but I do know I have to come to terms with my behavior and my actions. An elder has to face himself and what he does and what he fails to do. I'm going to give you one more description, but we're not going to read it now. I'm just going to call you to take this home for your Bible study this week. This is the description of a shepherd that Jesus gives us, a spiritual shepherd that Jesus gives us in John 10. So take that in your own personal Bible study. Read that yourself. Go through that and see what the relationship is between the sheep and the shepherd, because it'll help you in your relationship with Christ, and it'll help you to see what Jesus is teaching us about what shepherding is and what it means in his church. As I said at the beginning, Carol and I are such in debt to you all. We are so blown away, and we've been so loved and so taught and so grown by you. We had a lot of growing to do. We still do, but you are such a blessing, and we thank God for you. And we're excited as we step forward, and we're looking to this period, this month, of being able to select shepherds. And very excited that God will have his hand on that God will be in charge of that, and that the Holy Spirit will put forward men that we need as shepherds here to have more shepherds. It's not about me. It's not about us. My life, our life, is all for his glory. If any here need to come forward because they have something they need to clear between them and their Heavenly Father, they have a struggle in their life, or if you have anything you'd like to pray for, or if you're ready to be baptized into Christ, whatever your need be, please come forward and let us know what it is while we stand and sing.